One of the forms of protection from tumah is mukof tzomid posel. This refers to a kli, a utensil that is fully closed. The lid of the utensil is literally stuck to the rest of the utensil. If there are other items inside of that utensil and it is situated inside of a room which has a dead body there under the same roof, the Torah explicitly mentions that the items inside of that kli will not become tomei. The tumah is not able to enter into that kli. Now, there's one condition for this form of protection to work, and that is that the utensil itself, which is totally closed and shut, cannot be tomei. Now, this utensil is situated under the same oyel as a dead body, so the only way that it will not be tomei is if it is made either out of a material that cannot become tomei at all, for example, stone, or even if it's made out of earthenware, since earthenware is unique in that it can only become tomei from its inside. If a source of impurity touches the inside of an earthenware utensil, then it will become tomei, but not if it touches the outside. And therefore, if the kli would be made out of earthenware, so the only part of it which is touching the rest of the room in which the dead body is found is the outside of it, and that it does not become tomei, and therefore it would protect the items which are inside of it from becoming tomei. This form of protection is called mukof tzomid posel. Unlike the other things that protect from tumah passing beyond them, for example, an oihel, which is part of a fixed structure, or the walls of a fixed structure, like the walls of a house, mukof tzomid posel is unique in that it only protects from tumah entering inside of it. But if there would be a piece of a dead body inside of that kli, then the fact that the kli is totally closed will not prevent the tumah from exiting through the totally shut kli, even if it's made out of stone that cannot become tomei at all. The entire concept of mukof tzomid posel only protects from tumah entering into the inside of it, but not from allowing tumah which is inside of it to escape to the outside. So anything which is under the same roof would become tomei, even if the dead body is placed inside of a utensil that is totally shut. Because of this, the following case emerges. Shtei chov yosef, we have two earthenware barrels, vohen k'shnei chatzoi zesim, and there are two pieces of a dead body, each the size of half an olive, in each of the barrels. So if we combine them both together, there is enough to make any item under that same roof impure. And both of those barrels are indeed placed under the same roof, mukof tzomid posel, and they are both totally shut, with the lid actually stuck to the rest of the kli. They are both placed under the same roof in the same room. The utensils themselves, the barrels themselves, will remain pure. But v'habayis tomei, anything else which is inside of that house or in that room would become tomei. The reason for this is because the impurity escapes to the outside, and essentially there are two pieces which combine together to make up the minimum amount under the same roof to spread impurity to anything there. However, once the room becomes filled with impurity, so to speak, that impurity is not able to enter into either of the barrels, because they are totally shut and protected from impurity entering into them. Niftcho achas mehen, if one of the barrels gets opened up, then he v'habayis tmeim, that barrel as well as the rest of the house would be impure, v'chaver tatohira, but the other barrel which is still totally shut would remain pure, because it still has that protection. And the Mishnah ends off, v'chein shnei chadorim shein pesuchim labayis. The same applies to two rooms which are open up into a middle main room, and the only exit from the two side rooms is into this main middle room. If there is a piece of a dead body in the two side rooms, and each of them by itself is too small, it's half the size of an olive, but together they make up the minimum size to transfer impurity. Because of the concept of Sof Tumah Lotzeis, that if a dead body is eventually going to be taken into a particular room, then already from now that room is impure, and both of these pieces of the dead body are eventually going to be taken into the main room, because that's the only way out of the two side rooms. Already from this moment, midrabbanan, the middle room, is considered to be impure. But once again, this interesting result emerges that even though the two sources of the impurity are in the two side rooms, those side rooms themselves would remain pure, because the impurity which is created in the middle room does not go into those two side rooms, because there's no reason why the dead body would eventually be brought into those two side rooms. Perek Tes Mishnah Aleph. This following Perek chapter is pretty famous. Famous because of its difficulty and many different ways of understanding, and lots of different cases which have slight differences that can change the entire law, and with Hashem's help, we will explain it, but first we'll introduce a couple of points. The Perek is going to go through many different cases of a kaveres. A kaveres is a beehive in the shape of a cylinder. One side of the beehive is closed and the other side is open. And the beehive that is being discussed in this perek, this chapter, is a beehive which is extremely large, and it's so large that it is not able to become tomei. As we've seen several times, a kli which is so large that when it is filled up, it is too heavy to carry, cannot become tomei. Now we have seen that an oihel, a roof or a wall, which is part of a fixed structure, has the ability to prevent impurity from traveling through it. On the other hand, if it is a movable item, even if it forms an oihel, a roof, which would have the ability to transfer impurity to other items underneath that roof, underneath that movable item, nevertheless, it does not have the ability to prevent impurity from traveling beyond it. Now, there is room to possibly understand that when there is a movable item, and we say that it does not protect from impurity traveling beyond it, the idea is that the impurity travels through it. It's as if we don't see the movable item being there, and the impurity just continues to travel upwards or downwards. But we made it quite clear, the end of Perek Hey, the fifth chapter, that if we look into things slightly more deeply, it appears that this is not the case. And the true understanding is that a kli that has an opening allows the impurity to go into that kli via the opening. However, if the opening is shut and the lid is literally stuck to the rest of the kli, such that it's a mukov tzomid posel, like in the previous Mishnah, then you are closing that opening and you're preventing the impurity from entering into that kli. Or, even if it's not totally shut in that way, but at the top of the kli is an oihel of a fixed structure, or Daphne Sahalim, the walls of a fixed structure, that has the ability to close the opening of a movable item. And we made this point pretty clear in the case of the Mishnah over there, which actually talked about a beehive, which is a cylinder shape, and it's inside of a room that has a dead body there, and the top of the beehive is covered with a wooden board. Since a wooden board does not have the status of a kli at all, it's not a useful item, it therefore does have the ability to protect impurity from passing beyond it. And in that case, other items which are inside of the beehive would not be impure. It would be protected by this wooden board at the top. Now the question should be asked, but that's only at the top of the basket, but the rest of the basket is considered to be a kli, and a kli does not have the ability to protect and prevent impurity from coming through it. So the answer to that question is that the only way that the impurity can come through is via the opening. So as long as we deal with the opening, and at the opening there is a wooden board that would indeed prevent any impurity from entering into that kli. Now the truth is, this idea is pretty much based off of the concept of mukov tzomid posel. If you think about it, the Torah decrees that an item that is totally closed and hasn't got any form of opening does not allow the impurity to get into that item. So we understand from here that we're only really interested in the opening of the kli when talking about whether the impurity will enter into that kli. It's important to mention that this is all with regards to a kli that cannot become tomei. If it's a kli that can become tomei, and as soon as it's in a oihel of a dead body, it becomes tomei, so then tuma can even go through that kli even without there being any opening. The first few mishnayos of this chapter talk about a beehive. Again, a beehive, the relevance of a beehive is just the fact that it's a cylindrical shape, and we're talking about one which is too large, and therefore it cannot become tomei, so it's possible to start talking about it protecting and preventing impurity from coming through it. And the first few mishnayos talk about a case where the cylinder is partly inside of a room or a house, and partly outside of the house. So it's partly underneath an oihel, and partly not underneath an oihel. And the open end of this cylinder, this beehive, is outside, it's not underneath the oihel. Which means that the only part which is inside the house is a part which doesn't have an opening. And because of that, even though it's considered to be a kli, and in general a kli cannot prevent impurity from passing through it, that's not true. When we say a kli can't prevent impurity from coming through it, that's only saying that it's not a good enough closure of an opening. But the rest of the kli, which isn't an opening, it's the walls and the bottom of the kli, that does have the ability to prevent impurity from coming into the kli. Now all this having been said, in the same way as a mukov tzomid posel, something that is totally sealed, like we saw in the previous Mishnah, it prevents impurity from coming into it, but it does not prevent impurity from going out of it. Likewise, in this case, the part of the beehive, which is totally, it's not part of the opening, it's the walls or the bottom of the beehive, they have the ability to prevent impurity which is outside of the beehive from entering into it. But if there is a piece of a dead body inside of the beehive, it would escape, even not through the opening, but it would escape through the actual kli into the rest of the house, or upwards or downwards, as we're going to see in the coming Mishnayos. Now the truth is, there is one additional factor that appears to emerge from the Mishnayos, which could change a lot. And that is, in this case, which the first few Mishnayos are going to talk about, where the beehive is on its side and the open end of the beehive is outside of the house. In the same way as in the concept of Tsof Tumah Lotzeis, that if a piece of a dead body is going to exit through a particular room, then already from now that room is Tomei. And we have assumed throughout the entire Masechta that that entire concept of Tsof Tumah Lotzeis is Midrabanan. And indeed that is the majority opinion, although some do understand that it is Midoraisa, according to the Torah. But in these Mishnayos we're going to see that there is a certain level of significance that we do give, even Midoraisa, in a case where there is only one opening, and it's clear that the dead body is going to be taken out that way. And in this case, since there's only one opening to the beehive, and that opening is outside of the house, the only way that the Tumah escapes and exits the beehive is through that main opening, and it does not exit through the walls of the kli. If it was totally closed, like a Mukov Tzomid Posil, then there's no opening, so we say that it escapes through the entire walls of, or all of the walls of the kli. However, over here that there is an opening, we say that the only way that the Tumah escapes from the item is via that opening. The first two Mishnayos of our perek, our chapter, talk about a beehive that has two windows, which means two holes which are opposite each other along the walls of the beehive. These are holes which are deliberately made for the sake of the beehive, and these holes have been filled up with straw. But occasionally, for the sake of the beehive and the bees and the honey, they would sometimes remove that straw from these deliberately made holes. And the holes are at least a tefach by a tefach. The difference that this makes, however, is huge, because now, although these openings are closed, the way that they are closed is pretty temporarily, and it's certainly very easy to just remove the straw and to take out the piece of the dead body from the beehive via that hole. So this is no longer a beehive that only has one main opening and the tumah exits only that way. No, there are other openings, and therefore, for that reason, the impurity is once again able to leave the beehive and escape upwards or downwards, even from the walls of the beehive, which are partly inside of the house. And after these few points of introduction, we can now begin the perek. Kaveres shik pesecha pesach, a beehive which is in the entrance of a house, and half of it is inside the house, half of it is outside of the house, ufi olachutz, and the open end of this cylindrical beehive is facing outside, and is not underneath the roof of the house. A piece of a dead body that is at least the size of an olive is placed underneath the beehive. It's a cylinder, so it can be, even without touching the beehive, the piece of the dead body can be underneath part of the side of the beehive. It's a cylinder which is placed on its side, of course, because the entire open end is outside. Oyal gabo, or if the piece of the dead body is above the beehive, mibachutz, outside. So we've got two cases where the piece of the dead body is either underneath or above the part of the beehive that is outside of the house, not underneath the roof. Since the beehive is a movable item, it does not have the ability to prevent impurity from passing through it. Of course, it does prevent the impurity from coming into the inside of it, like we just talked about at length, but in terms of blocking the impurity from passing beyond the kli, it does not have the ability to do so, and therefore, kol shu keneged hazayis, tachteho v'gabo, anything that is in line with the piece of the dead body, either underneath it or above it, tomei would become impure, because a kli does not have the ability to block impurity. V'chol she'eino keneged hazayis, but any item which is not directly in line with the piece of the dead body, as well as toicha, anything which is inside of the barrel, even if it is directly in line with the piece of the dead body, that wouldn't become tomei, because like we said, the barrel does protect the impurity from coming to the inside of the barrel. Just like a mukov tzomid posel, something that is totally shut without any opening, prevents the impurity from coming through it. even though it doesn't do the opposite. It does allow impurity to pass through it, but in terms of the things that are inside of it, those are protected by the kli. And certainly the habayis, any item which is inside of the house, would be tahar, pure, because the impurity only is directly above and directly below the piece of the dead body. Habayis, if the piece of impurity, the piece of the dead body, is anywhere inside of the house, not underneath the beehive, it's anywhere else in the house, in tomei al habayis, only the items which are inside of the house would be impure, but that which is in the beehive would not be impure, because that is protected by the walls and the sides of the beehive. Besoicha, if the piece of the dead body is inside of the beehive, then hakol tomei, everything becomes impure. That is to say, any item which is inside of the beehive itself would be tomei. Because even though a movable item is not considered to be an oihel for blocking impurity from passing beyond it, it is an oihel in terms of spreading the impurity to anything else which is underneath the same roof as the dead body. So any item inside of the beehive would be tomei, as well as that, anything inside of the house would be tomei, because that tumah escapes through the walls, because the walls and the side of the beehive protect tumah from entering into it, but it does not protect tumah from exiting outside of the beehive. And likewise, anything above or below the piece of the dead body would become tomei, because once again, a kli does not protect impurity from passing beyond it, and the only exception is that it prevents the impurity from coming to the items inside of that kli. Mishnah Beis. This Mishnah discusses an identical scenario, except that in this case, Hoisek Vermin Oretz Tefach, the beehive was situated at least a tefach raised from the ground, and therefore, underneath the kaveres is formed an oihel. And the main difference that this makes is that as soon as any impurity enters any part of underneath the kaveres, underneath the beehive, it will automatically spread not only to all of that area underneath the beehive, but also to the entire house, because the oihel which is underneath the beehive combines with the rest of the house. So the Mishnah says, Tumo tachteho, if there is a piece of a dead body underneath the beehive, oi babayis, or anywhere in the house, oi al gaba, or on top of the beehive, in all of those cases, hakol tomei, everything becomes impure, elotoicha, except for the items that are inside of the beehive. And the explanation for all of these cases is very similar, because the beehive, since it's a movable item, it does not block tumah from passing through it. The only thing that it protects is that which is inside of it, but it doesn't protect anything else, and therefore, even in the case where the piece of the dead body is above the beehive, it ends up going upwards and downwards in a straight line, so it reaches even underneath the beehive, because it's not blocked by the beehive, since it's a kli, it's a movable item. And as soon as impurity enters that area underneath the beehive, it combines with the house and enters into the house. Likewise, if there is impurity in the house, that combines with the area which is underneath the beehive. And as soon as there is impurity underneath the beehive, it would also travel upwards to the area above the beehive. So any item which is over there would also become tomei. Mishnah Gimel, like we mentioned, Bamadvar Amurim, when are these laws stated? Specifically, Bizman Shehi Kli Mechul Cheles, in a case where the beehive is a kli, it's a movable item that has a use, it's not broken, and it has holes which have not been stopped up fully and tightly. That means that it's got straw filling up that gap where the hole is, but it's not like any strong plug for that hole. If the holes would have been stopped up fully, then we would go back to saying that since the only opening of this item is the main opening at the end of the cylinder, the end of the beehive, so the tumah exits only that way, and it cannot go out of the rest of the walls of the beehive at all. So it must be that there are still holes that we see as holes, and the loose filling of these holes is enough to allow the impurity to exit through those holes to the rest of the house, or upwards and downwards, but there is enough of a filling to allow the walls of the kli to prevent the impurity from entering into the inside. But what happens if Haisa Pechusa, if the beehive was broken, it had a hole that was not deliberately made for the sake of the beehive's use, but there was a hole that defined it as a broken kli? And this is going to make a very big difference for these laws, because something that is not defined as a kli at all does have the ability to block tumah from traveling beyond it. That's like the example we brought earlier on of the wooden flat board, which is not considered to be a useful kli at all. Such an item does block impurity from traveling beyond it. However, as long as it has the hole in it, obviously it cannot prevent the impurity from traveling through it, because the tumor will go through the hole. So if kuka bakash, it must be that it is filled up with straw, which is just a way of removing that space so that it can indeed block the impurity. It's still considered broken, but at least this way it can block the tumor. The Mishnah mentions another way that the beehive will no longer be considered a kli, or a futsar, if it is blocked up, and the Mishnah clarifies that is a futsar. It needs to be blocked up to the extent that there isn't an open tefach in any place on the wall of the beehive. And now the beehive is pretty useless because the bees aren't able to enter and exit. So the Mishnah has changed one factor. That factor is that the beehive is now no longer considered to be a kli, and as a result, it does have the ability to protect and block impurity from traveling beyond it. So, if there is a piece of a dead body the size of an olive underneath the beehive, and there is less than a tefach underneath the beehive, so there's no oihel formed over there, it's rather a situation of tumor tzutza, where the tumor is, so to speak, squashed, and therefore connected at hatoim tome, anything directly underneath the beehive, even underground, would become impure. However, that which is above the beehive would not become impure, because since the beehive is not a kli, it blocks the impurity from traveling beyond it. Now, the simple implication of the Mishnah is that even the items which are inside of the beehive would also not become tomei. But this is slightly more difficult to understand, because it's true that the top of the beehive, when I say the top, the beehive is on its side, but once it's placed on its side, so the part which is at the top, has a tefach of empty space underneath it, so that's considered to be an oihel, and that blocks the impurity from traveling further upwards. But that which is inside of the beehive should become tomei, because the bottom of the beehive is not an oihel, because there's less than a tefach underneath the beehive. The answer is that, like we have seen, a movable item protects that which is inside of it from becoming tomei. So it emerges beautifully that there are two different discussions over here. One is in terms of the items which are above the barrel, and one is concerning the items which are inside of the barrel. And there are two forms of protection which work, each one only for one of them. The idea that tumah can only enter into a movable item via an opening, but not via the sides, that protects that which is inside of the beehive. And the idea that a item which is not considered to be a kli at all, because it's not useful, if it is an oihel, then it prevents anything going beyond it, that protects the items which are above the beehive from becoming tomei. Al-Gaba, if there is a piece of a dead body above the beehive, connected ad harakia tomei, any item which is in line with it upwards or up to the beehive would become tomei, but anything which is below the beehive or inside of the beehive would be pure, because the top of the beehive is an oihel, so it prevents any impurity from traveling beyond it downwards. Babayis, if there is a piece of a dead body in the house, anywhere in the house, not necessarily underneath the beehive, ein tomei el habayis, only the house will become tomei. Since the beehive doesn't open up into the house, it is not able to become tomei from the impurity that has filled up the house. And finally, besoicha, if there is a piece of a dead body inside the beehive, ein tomei el toicha, only that which is inside of the beehive would become tomei. Anything which is inside of it, because it is considered to be an oihel to transfer the impurity to anything which is inside of there. But the impurity does not escape and leave the beehive at all. And the reason for this, and this is really the biggest difference from the previous Mishnayos' scenarios, that in the previous Mishnayos, the holes were made there deliberately for the sake of the bees coming into and exiting the beehive. So even when there is straw there, the straw is not exactly there to stay. But in this case, the beehive broke a little bit, a hole developed there, and straw was placed in the hole in order to fill it up. So although it's not considered to be a good repair, it has no permanence, and the item does not regain the status of a halachic useful kli, nevertheless, in terms of that which he has done to fill up the hole, his intention is not to still be able to remove that straw from the hole. So the hole is closed up on a pretty fixed and more permanent basis. And because of that, the impurity is not able to escape via those holes, and the only way for the tumor to exit this basket is via the main opening at the end of the cylinder, the end of the beehive, which is outside of the house. And this is the reason why the impurity does not escape to anywhere else, and only the items which are inside of the beehive would become tomei.